I love God. And the title of my message today is, Why Do I Love God? Why do I love God? Now, some people might think I love God because I'm a pastor. It's not that. Some people think I love God because I love church or I'm religious. That's not it at all. I'm here today to tell you why I love God. And the reason I love God is the same reason that you should love him too. Are you with me today? In the Old Testament, we're commanded to love God. In the New Testament, as born-again believers, we are expected to love God. But what does that mean, to love God? I mean, how do you conjure up love? How do you make love happen from inside of you? If we're, as born-again believers, expected to love God, how do we conjure up love from within ourselves? Isn't love something that happens to you, is what a lot of people think. I mean, like they say that we use the term falling in love, right? As if we couldn't help it. We were swept off our feet and we just fell in love. And there's some aspects to that in a romantic sense, or when your baby is born and you look at him for the first time and you just kind of fall in love with that child. I mean, there's some aspects to that, but really love is beyond those kind of things. And really it's beyond our ability to just simply make love happen. Are you hearing me today? When it says for us to love God, and it commands us in the Old Testament to love God, how do we conjure that up? How do we make ourselves love God? And where does love come from? And I want to talk to you about that today. Why I love God. And I'm going to start in 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. Simple scripture. It says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Come on, somebody. For God is love. Can I tell you, love is not a feeling, although it can affect your feelings. Love is not an act, although it may be required that you act to complete love. Are you with me today? Love is this. Listen to this carefully. Love is God's character and his nature being expressed. Come on. It is the character and nature of God. We live in a time where there's a phrase called, it's like this, it's love is love. And what that basically means is that as long as there's the feelings there, it doesn't matter. But let me tell you something. Just because something makes you feel good doesn't mean that it's love, and it doesn't mean it's good for you either. I mean, crack makes people feel good, but it's not love, is it? Come on. There's a lot of things in life that will make you feel good. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season, and there's poison on the other side of it. Love is not feeling good. Love is the nature and character of God being expressed to the fullest. I'm going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and talk about love. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. There's times when you can feel good and love's not there. There are times when you can do good and love's not there. That's what he's telling us today. Now he's going to talk a little bit about the love of God. Now, and as we read this, understand, if God is love, and we understand that God is too big to fit in our brains, right? He is beyond our comprehension. And what we know of God is what God reveals to us, right? And so I always get tickled at us who failed Algebra 2, but somehow we think God is supposed to fit in our understanding, right? God is bigger than your mind. His ways are beyond our ways. So what we know of him is what he reveals to us. Are you with me today? Watch what he reveals to us about what love really is. Love is patient. That'll end a lot of love right there. It wants it right now. Give it to me now. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love says, if it's good for you, I want it for you. Come on. Even if you go higher than me, even if you get more blessed than me, even if there's things that you have that I would like to have but don't have, which leads us to other things. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Come on, the Bible is preaching today. Love is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It keeps no records of wrong. Some of y'all need to get that. You got a little thing in the back of your mind that your wife or your husband did, and you are just waiting for the moment to pull it out. I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit simmer on some of y'all for a moment and just let him get into the deep parts of your life. Hallelujah. It keeps no records of wrong. Watch this. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. When we're talking about what real love is closer to truth than it is to good feelings. Real love is closer to expressing what God says is truth than it is to simply feeling good. It bears all things. Come on, that's a big one. Love can take it. Love is tough. It persists. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Come on, are you with me today? And at the end of this chapter, it says, there are now faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. God is love. Now, are you getting a picture of what I'm talking about when we talk about love? It is not the world's concept of love, which means, you know, I love you today, and I'm glad we're married. This is my wife right here, and I love her, and as long as I have gooey, ooey feelings for her, then I'm in love. But the moment she irritates me, then I must not be in love, and there's somebody over here that will give me ooey, gooey feelings, and that's what love is. You just fall in and out, and you can have it, and you can conjure it up or make it up on your own. I'm here to tell you that love is not those things. Love is the consistency of the nature and character of God. When you feel real love, what you're feeling is the character of God, the nature of God, expressed in your marriage, expressed in your relationships, expressed in your life. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. And how did he love us? Not with ooey-gooey feelings. He loved us with the kind of love he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So why do I love God? I love God, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved me. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Can I tell you something? You can't love God until you let him love you first. Our love for God is not something we conjure up. You can't go, oh, I'm going to love God more today. I'm just going to squeeze until I squeeze some love out of me, and I'm just going to love God more today. I'm going to make myself love him. No, it's a reaction to the love of God that he has for us. Are you hearing me today? It's our natural reaction. There are some things that we need to be aware of in how God has loved us. He created us in love. He created you to be an object of his love. You are not a screw up or a mistake. You're not here simply because your mom and dad got together a long time ago. You're here because God wanted you to be here, amen? And you are who he made you to be. Now, we're fallen and we're broken and we make mistakes, but God sent his son to fix that in us. Come on, amen? And he's going to perfect us one day, hallelujah. Are you with me? He created you because he wanted to love you. Hallelujah. He wants you to be an object of his love and for you to love him in return. We must acknowledge how God sees us. He loves us. The Bible says that God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Some people think that God loves the Christians who are doing really good or the people who are really living right and walking straight, and God could never love someone like me. But the Bible says in Romans that God sent his love for us. He commended his love for us, and that while we were at our worst, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. And listen, the death of Christ did not guarantee you'd be saved. It simply gave you an opportunity to receive it. In other words, God loved you so much, he sent his son to die just so you could have the chance to hear the gospel and respond to the gospel. Oh, when we see how much God loves us, how he treats us, how he sent his son to live a perfect life for us. I think of Jesus, who never sinned, who never made a mistake. He was tempted just like we are. There are times that we are tempted. Let me put it to you in an easy way. Sometimes I get to eating too much. Come on, don't raise your hand. Yeah, come on. Don't point. And, you know, you can tell when you put your clothes on, they don't fit the same way, you know. Uh-huh. And I know y'all don't think that's me, but it really is. And so I'll tell myself I'm going to stop eating, snacking so much. But then there's a gallon of ice cream that I need to finish off. Because I was raised, you got to finish everything on your plate, right? That was probably a mistake that we've taught our kids, right? And it's just, it's in there, and it's so tempting that you can't resist the ice cream, the bluebell in the fridge. Oh, I like the vanilla, and you can put whatever you want on it. And let me give you a little piece of heaven. Get you some of the Hershey's cocoa powder that you cook with and put it in vanilla bluebell and stir it up really good, and you will be in heaven. And it is so good. Can I tell you, I don't have the ability to resist everything I should resist. And I think of Jesus, who resisted it all, who said no to the devil every time, who said no to the flesh every time, who resisted in all points. He made his life perfect. Why did he do that? He lived a perfect life because he knew I couldn't. Are you with me? He fulfilled the law and the prophets on our behalf. He lived a perfect life for us. Not only that, but he was willing to go to the cross and die for us. Come on. Are you hearing me today? He even said I could call down 12 legions of angels and we could put a stop to this. Come on. And if I was in Jesus' shoes and they put a nail on my hand and they pulled that hammer back, I might call 12 legions of angels to straighten some folks out. But God loved us so much that he allowed them to drive the nails in his hands. He allowed them to put a crown of thorns on his head to lift him up. He allowed them to cut his side, and he allowed them to take his earthly life. And he loved us enough to rise from the dead for us. Come on. Jesus could have just gone straight from the cross to heaven, but he rose from the dead for us so that we could have an opportunity to be saved, because he loved us, he cared for us. When we see how he created us, when we see how he looks at us, when we see how he treats us, we begin to understand the love of God. When we see how he forgave us. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of stuff I've been forgiven of. Let me read something to you out of Luke chapter 7. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with her hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins be forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, on the surface of the story, it kind of looks like what Jesus is saying is that if you've really been bad, then when God forgives you, you will love him more. But say you've been one of those people who maybe grew up in church and you've sinned, but you weren't on drugs, you didn't go to prison, you didn't murder anybody, you didn't have multiple affairs, you didn't do all of that other stuff, that when God forgives you, you will love him a little bit. I don't think that's what the scripture is teaching us here. I think what this story is teaching us is that when you're aware of how awful your sin is, come on, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. Isn't that what the Bible says? If you've broken the law in one point, you've broken the law. There are no misdemeanors or felonies in the law. You're either broken the law and you're guilty, or you're not. Come on. That's why I think it's important to notice what he's saying here is that you don't recognize, to the Pharisee, you don't recognize how bad your sin is, but this woman, she has recognized how awful her sin is. There was a time, I've never murdered anybody. I don't have affairs on my wife. I don't do things. I try to do the best I can. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a someone that's got some of a stellar testimony where God brought me out of drug addiction or something like that. But I can tell you this, when I've been in the presence of God, I have recognized the awfulness of my sin. I have recognized that he is holy, and without him I am not. I have understood that and come to a place in my life where I realize I'm no better than this woman. I'm no better than this Pharisee. Can I tell you, I love him today because he has forgiven me of the worst that I have done. You see, when you realize how much God has forgiven you of, when you realize how ugly your sin is and how loving God is, how holy he is, and yet through Christ he's forgiven you, it makes you love him. It makes you want to be with him and near him. Yes, we love him because we see how he created us, how he sees us, how he treats us, how he forgave us, and how he made us his children in love. 1 John 1:3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. Can I tell you something? God could have made us servants. Come on. You remember the story of the prodigal son? And he went away and he lived his own life and he got in a big mess and he wanted to come home to his father, and he thought to himself, I'll tell my father I just want to be a servant. I'll live in the servant's quarters. I'll eat the servant's food. I'll wear the servant's clothes. I'll just be a servant. The father could have said, deal, deal, go, sleep in the bunk beds with them. You're not going to sleep in my house anymore. But what did the father do? He saw him from a long way off, and he grabbed him and he hugged him. And he said, my son who was lost is now home. And he said, kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back, because this is my son. Oh, what love God has for us that he doesn't call us servants. He calls us his sons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't deserve it, but he loved us. We were spiritual orphans, but God loves us. And when we serve him as his sons. Come on, are you with me today? Yes, he saw me. He loved me. He sent Jesus for me. He forgave me. He made me his child, and he promised he would keep me for eternity in love. One of the greatest spiritual truths that you'll get as a Christian is that you don't hold God, he holds you. And that when you're not always faithful, God is faithful. Hallelujah. And that what you can't hold on any longer, God can hold on. Hallelujah. God has you in his hands. It's not that you have God in your hands. When it becomes your responsibility, then you're on the wrong track, because God has the responsibility. Amen. God put it on his son Jesus, and it is Jesus that carries us today. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and I will dwell with you in the house of the Lord. Glory to the name of God forever. Somebody say forever today. Hallelujah. I am going to be with God forever. He is with me now. He's inside me. He's upon me. He's in my life and in my heart. Yes. But someday I'm going to see him face to face. Someday if the rapture doesn't occur, my resurrected body is going to come out of the ground. Someday, wholly, completely, spirit and soul and body, I will be in union with Christ. Glory be to his name. And I will be there forever. And it's not because I've been good. It's not because he weighed my deeds and saw that I did more good than bad. It's because even though I was the worst of sinners, even though my sin stinks as bad as anybody's does, Jesus covered me in his blood, and he changed my life, and he raised me up, and he gave me his righteousness, and he took my sin, and he killed my sin on the cross of Calvary. Why do we love God? We love God because we let him love us first. And when we let him love us, we have the love of God within us. 1 John 4:16, for we have come to know and have believed that the love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If God is love, and God lives in you through the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is God. He's not part of God. He's all of God, right? Amen? And he lives within you, then the love of God is in you. How do we know love? Because the love of God is in me, because God is in me. Hallelujah. Come on. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. First one, right out of the box, he's telling us, listen, when the Spirit is in you, what's going to come out of you, the fruit that's going to be produced in your life is love. Not the ooey-gooey feeling, make everybody feel good, don't offend anybody kind of love, but love that is truthful, love that doesn't bear wrong, love that keeps no records of wrong, love that is kind, love that speaks truth. Hallelujah. So why do I love God? Because he first loved me, and his love has changed me. See, the love of God doesn't ask you to change before you come to him. You come as you are, but the love of God won't leave you as you are. Because if you ever let God love you, if you ever open your heart and let God love you, it will change you. Come on. It will change your life. Some of you today out there don't love God because you've never let God love you. You're not listening to what he says about you. You're so worried about the church and does the pastor make too much money and are they, you know, the Bible's been interpreted so many times that it's got errors and you've been listening to all of the stuff that the world is telling you why this is no good and you just need to leave it on your own. You've been listening to all of that, but you won't listen to God say how much he loves you. You won't listen to what he says about you. You won't come to grips with what he's done for you. Can I tell you something? The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross demands a response from you. You ignore it or you accept it. You walk away from it or you accept it. You still made a choice. Some of you won't come to grips with that today, what God has done for you because he loves you. You won't acknowledge how he sees you. You think that it's about going to church. You think it's about religion. You think that some of us are just wired a certain way that we like to be in church and we like to be religion, but you have no idea what the love of God will do to you. You don't know what it's like to be seen in complete truth. Can I tell you, I remember the time, I remember the place in the driveway of our house in our car when the Holy Spirit came into that car and he lit up my soul and I saw the truth. I saw the truth. If I wanted to reject it, I could have walked away and said, I'm not living in that. I'm not accepting that, but I said yes to Jesus. And in that moment, I was born again and a new life started. And can I tell you today, I have not been the same since. Some 30 something years later, God is still doing amazing things, and I am still amazed by the grace and the love that God has for me. And every time we get into the presence of God, every time we hear the word of God, every time I kneel in prayer and I feel God in the presence of my life, it makes me love him more. It makes me want him more. No, I don't love God because I'm special. I love God because he first loved me. Glory be to his name. Church, we love God because he first loved us. Let us relish in the love of God. Let us accept the lavishness that's been poured out upon us, that even though we don't deserve it, God loves us. Hallelujah. Can we receive his love today? Let me close with this thought. If you don't know the love of God, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't said yes to God's love in your life, I want to encourage you. Place your faith in Jesus. Trust in him. Believe what God says about you, that he loves you. And that Jesus died for you because he loves you. Believe what he says about you. Accept it and place your trust in it. What I mean is, don't just believe in God. Believe that if you stand before God and you say, I'm trusting that what Jesus did for me is enough to keep me out of hell and get me into heaven. And that's all I got is Jesus. I got no good works. It's not that I've been good or done good. I'm not going to stand on anything I've done. I'm simply going to say what Jesus did is all I got. If you do that, the Bible says you shall be saved. Begin a relationship with a God that loves you, who wants to lavish his love upon your life. And even if you're a Christian today, there are times when we can get so caught up in the flesh, we lose connection with God's love. We forget that God loves us, and we start beating ourselves up. Some of you are in the house today. You're beating yourself up because you hadn't been perfect. And you've forgotten that Jesus already did that for you. You've forgotten that it doesn't matter if it's 7 times a day or 70 times 7. You've forgotten that the blood of Jesus is greater than your sin and that you are not so bad that Jesus can't save you. Come on, don't negate the blood of Jesus and the work that it has done in your life. Are you hearing me today? You say, well, Pastor, you don't know the things I've been doing. Doesn't matter. I know the things Jesus has done. Hallelujah. And it's more than enough. You hear those people say, well, I'm going to hell and nobody can save me and I'm just going to take over when I get down there. Can I promise you something? The blood of Jesus is bigger than your sin. And Jesus can save you, turn you into a bawling baby that loves everyone around him. Jesus can do that kind of work in your life. Hallelujah. We lose sight of the love of God because we get so focused on the things we've done or haven't done. But I want you to get focused once again on our Savior Jesus. Would you just close your eyes and just get your mind upon Jesus? He created you because he loves you. He saw you before you were born. He knew you before you were born and he loved you. And as you've lived throughout your life, he's seen you with love. He's not ignoring the sin that you committed. He's not sweeping sin under the rug, no. He's aware of your faults and failure. That's part of the beauty of his love, is that even though he knows it all, he still loves you completely. Jesus, the one who loved us enough to not just feel for us, but to come to earth and live for us, and die for us, and rise from the dead for us. The kind of love that completes itself in action. The character and nature of God expressed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we look to you, the one who forgave us. God, we will never say again, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Because we've been in the spirit realm, we've been in the presence of God, we know the depths of our own sin. And we know how much you forgave us of, how you cleansed us. Lord, we thank you. Because we've been forgiven of much, we love you much, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We look to you, Jesus, the one who has brought us into the family of God, who has made us children of God. We have a father. We have a family. Our father is our protector, our provider. Our father has a place for us. Thank you. Thank you. And he will keep us in eternity. And we thank you for that, Christ. Glory be to the name of the Lord our God. Glory be to the name of the Lord my God. I love you, Lord. Can you just raise your hands and begin to express your love to God today? I love you, God, because you first loved me. I love you, God, because you first loved me. I love you, God, because you saw me and you loved me. I love you, God, because you forgave me. I love you, God, because you keep me. You've made me a child. I love you, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.